Welcome to another inspirational message from Bethany Assembly of God in Agawam, Massachusetts. It's our prayer that this message blesses and encourages you.
It's my privilege to be able to introduce to you today our guest speaker. Typically, he's here in person. He's speaking to us today from a much greater distance, but we're so glad that he's able to be with us, even though he can't be here physically. Greg Hubbard is a longtime part of Bethany. He was a youth pastor here at one time and has become a regular here, teaching and preaching God's word. He and his wife, Robin, travel the world, and they have a heart for telling people the good news about Jesus. I hope that you will open up your hearts to what Greg has to share with us this morning. Please give a great big Bethany welcome right from your living room couch to Greg Hubbard.
Good morning, Pastor Steve and Bethany. Greg Hubbard here. What a joy to be with you this morning. Wish you could be there in person, and Lord willing, we're hoping that that day comes soon. But I am so excited to be with you this morning. We'll be meeting together by way of Zoom on Tuesday night and again online on Wednesday night. So I hope you're doing watch parties and sharing right now, because we want as many people as possible to hear the story in the power of the cross. So I want you to open up your heart this morning. We're going to read together from the book of Luke, chapter 23. It's a big chunk of scripture, but I want you to sit back, take a sip of coffee, and read along with me as we go back and talk about the power of the cross. Luke 23:32, it goes like this. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with his criminals. On his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and they mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God?" He said, "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." But he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you that today you'll be with me in paradise." Now listen at verse 44, where it tells us, "It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' When he said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, he praised God and he said, 'Surely this was a righteous man.' When all the people who gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and they went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things." I want to focus for a few moments on that Roman centurion. Mark tells us in Mark 15, verse 39, "And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, 'Surely this man was the Son of God.'" I'm not sure your journey on where you are in your walk with the Lord, but I want to go back some 2,000 years to that moment when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died upon the cross. No matter who you are, no matter what you believe, it's an historical fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. There's no message like the message of the cross. And the Bible tells us that there were many people gathered that day around Calvary's cross. We were there back in December in Israel. And there's many favorite places to visit whenever we're there. But my favorite place is standing at the foot of Golgotha, the place believed to be where Jesus laid down his life for your sins and mine. But the text tells us that that Roman centurion, this mighty, powerful soldier, he stood there in a front row, if you will, and he actually saw how Jesus died. And as he saw God's son dying on that cross, the Bible tells us that because he saw how he died, he said with his own voice, surely this man was, is the Son of God. And so for a few short moments, can we address the question, what was it about the death of Jesus that brought that Roman soldier to a place? He actually proclaimed, this is a righteous man. This is the Son of God. A few reasons, and then we'll pray together. The first thing I believe that may have been the reason that brought that man to a place of putting his faith in Christ was because of the composure with which Jesus died. It's amazing to me that when Luke talks about this, it teaches us that they led Jesus away to be slaughtered, to be crucified. John chapter 1, John the Baptist refers to Jesus as the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I love what it says in Isaiah 53 that he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before shearers is silent. It says he did not open his mouth. That centurion, this wasn't his first rodeo. This wasn't the first time he ever saw men led away to be crucified. But there was something about the composure, I believe, that Jesus displayed that day that pierced the heart of the hardened soldier. He was accustomed, I'm sure, to other guilty criminals cursing and swearing and fighting. And I'm sure they had to wrestle some and drag them to their death. But that wasn't the way it was with Jesus. You see, nobody murdered Jesus. But the Bible says he willingly laid his life down for you and I. Again, I'm not sure your background. I didn't grow up in the church, and I was 17 years old when I first heard the story of the love of God from my soul and the fact that he died for me. And yet I had no historical background or a knowledge of scripture. And maybe that's where you are today. Maybe Easter is that holiday that comes and it goes and such without a fresh revelation and a realization that 2,000 years ago, no matter who you are, no matter what you think or feel about God, the fact is that Jesus Christ loves you. And the fact that he allowed them to lead him to Calvary's cross. And I just wonder if it was his gentleness, his composure, there was no resistance, there was no sense of I'm innocent and this is not right. Jesus willingly walked to the cross. And I just wonder if the Roman centurion could walk on this platform right now. If he'd say to us, he'd say, Bethany, and those that are watching by live stream, it was the way that he died, the way that he humbled himself and became obedient to death. But maybe it wasn't his composure. Maybe if that Roman soldier could be with us this morning, he'd say it was his own cross that brought him to the place of belief. The cross, the suffering of Jesus. Maybe it wasn't, maybe he would say his composure that he saw many other deaths, but he never saw anybody die like this. But maybe he'd say, secondly, I never saw anybody suffer like this. Isaiah 52, 14 tells us, just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form was marred beyond human likeness. Look, I've seen the pictures too, and the cross and whatever. Listen, it was a bloody cross. The scene of Jesus nailed the cross, he was butchered and nailed and bled upon that cross. Imagine, again, Isaiah tells us, he was marred beyond human likeness. It talks in Mark chapter 15, how they put a purple robe on him and they twisted it, they put a coat of thorns on his head and pressed it on him. they began to call out King of the Jews, and they spit on him, and they struck him on the head over and over. They fell on their knees, and they paid homage to him. They began to beat, they spit, and they nailed Jesus Christ to a cross. Doctors have researched the crucifixion, and medical experts have looked at the death of Jesus. And if we could bring doctors on board right now, they would speak to us about the immense physical suffering of what Christ went through on the cross some 2,000 years ago. I'm going to just read what one doctor wrote, not the entire article for time's sake, but toward the end, his final moments on that cross. One doctor wrote how the body of Jesus is now in extremes. He can now feel the chill of death creeping through his tissues. This realization brings out his six words, possibly little more than a tortured whisper. It is finished. Imagine the suffering that Jesus went through on the cross for your sins and mine. For the Bible tells us, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. So here's the deal. The fact is that Jesus suffered greatly for your sins and my sins. You may say, well, Greg, you know, that's awesome, but I don't believe this. This has no effect, whatever. Listen, it doesn't matter what you believe at this point. What matters is the fact that God so loves you. He sent his only son to die on that cross. Jesus suffered on that cross. And I wonder, you know, I remember years ago, numbers of times going to Fenway Park, and man, I'm missing baseball right now. And I remember going to Fenway Park and all excited or whatever. So we took some friends and we had four tickets. Fenway Park, man. We arrived there 4 hours early to watch Big Poppy come in and all the other players. But when we finally made our way into the ballpark, and I remember we grabbed a great hot dog for $8 each, whatever, and went to our seats, whatever. Man, I sat down and I couldn't believe it. My seat had obstructed view. Robin can see every other place in the field. Our two friends could see everything. Now imagine that. The only thing I could not see was home plate. If you know anything about watching baseball, that's a minor problem. And so the entire ball game, I'm looking over sideways. I had a crick in my neck for 3 months because my view was obstructed. Listen careful. When that Roman soldier stood at the foot of the cross, he did not have obstructed view. He saw the suffering of Jesus Christ. He saw the immense agony of the cross. But Jesus suffered because he loves you. He cares about you. And so maybe if that Roman soldier could say to us this morning, maybe he'd say to us, it was his composure. He never saw anybody die like this. But maybe he'd say to us, he'd say, Bethany, I put my faith in Jesus Christ because I've been to many crucifixions. I've seen many wicked men die, but I've never, ever seen anybody suffer like this man. But maybe the Roman soldier would say it wasn't either of those things. Maybe he'd say it wasn't his composure, it wasn't his suffering, but it was his compassion. Now, this is amazing to me. Jesus Christ, with the agony of the cross, he's laying down his life for the sins of Western Mass, the Pioneer Valley, all the way from Agawam to Romania to Zimbabwe, Africa. Jesus is dying for the sins of the world. And that's what brings us on the same playing field. Because you might say, Greg, well, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm atheist, I'm a vegetarian. We can go down the list. The fact is we were all born sinners. For all of sin that comes short of the glory of God, we've all blown it. And because we've all sinned, we all need a Savior. And that's why Jesus died upon that cross. But I wonder when that Roman centurion, without his shepherd view, he saw Jesus hanging on that cross. When he put his faith in Christ and proclaimed, that is the Son of God. When he saw how he died, he proclaimed it. This was the Son of God. I wonder if he was saying that because he never saw anybody love like this. Never saw such compassion. In Luke 23:34, He showed compassion to the crowds. In John 19, 26, 27, he showed compassion to his mom. In Luke 23, 39 to 43, he showed compassion to the thief on the cross. I love what Mark 10, 45 says. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. I love Matthew 11, 28. We're living in such a crazy time right now. People bound by fear. Yesterday in a grocery store, I was with Robin and saw an elderly man with his cane was so distraught. I was so not sure what door to go in, and they had different ways to go in the store and to come out. We were in our vehicle. We had finished shopping. He stood there perplexed. We jumped out. We were able to share Jesus. He was sharing. He said, I'm 91 years old. He said, I've got stomach cancer. He said, my life is coming to an end. He said, I've lived over 90 years. I've never seen anything like this. To watch that man weep in that parking lot as Robin shared the message of Jesus and able to pray with him and got him some oranges he wanted. But I'll never forget the fear before we prayed in that man's eyes. Who am I talking to right now, man? And you say, Greg, I feel alone. Greg, I feel lost. I feel like I just don't know how this is all gonna happen. You need to know this. The message of the cross is God loves you. And Jesus Christ came to show. He didn't just say it, but Romans says, for God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that Christ died for the ungodly. So just maybe that Roman centurion, if we can look into your homes right now, or if we can be in your home with a cup of coffee and some donut dip donuts. Oh, Lord, I could go for one right now. Thank God for donut dip. Come on. If you're sitting in your home with a donut dip and a coffee with a Roman soldier, I wonder if he might say to you, if he'd say, you know what, man? He said, I came to kill Jesus. I came to arrest him. I came angry, heard about this Nazarene, but when I saw the way that man died upon that cross, when I saw the sun become darkened and the earth shake and the temple curtain rip from top to bottom, when I saw how he died and I saw his love, maybe it was the love of God that convinced that Roman centurion that Jesus was and is the Son of Almighty God. Revelation 22 tells us, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. You know what my prayer is right now? I mean, just giving of a sermon, whatever. Are you kidding me? Thank God for sermons and sermons. But I'm praying that wherever you're watching this, that the love of God starts to melt in your heart right now. Like Mr. Brendan in a giant parking lot grocery store, he melted with a sense of the love of God, that God knows him and God loves him. So who am I talking to this morning? And you might even say, Greg, you know what? You're a little intense. Come on, you're relaxed. Listen, we're living in a broken world. The message of the love of God must be shared with the whole world. As a matter of fact, I thought it was kind of cute. I posted that I'd be online with Bethany this morning and that we'd be taping this and that we'd be sure I had the joy of being with you. And somebody wrote a comment. They said, that's awesome. She said, are they open? That's awesome. I couldn't resist myself. I said, Bethany is never closed. They're always open. Listen, I'd rather have a closed building and open hearts than the open building and closed hearts. Oh, I'm praying, God, let this virus end. Lord, let this end this and stretch out your hand and just let the virus be broken. But the church, the true church, never, never closes. Open 24/7. How come? Because the message of the love of God is powerful. And I believe this, that there's somebody listening to me right now and God's saying to you, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, I willingly suffered and died on that cross. You come unto me and I will give you rest. I am praying right now, wherever you're listening to this, for that no matter who you are or what you've done, but the love of God melts you even right now as you hear this message. So maybe the Roman soldier maybe say to us, it was his composure. I never saw anybody die like this. Maybe it was his suffering. I never saw anybody suffer like this. And maybe, thirdly, he'd say, you know what? I put my faith in Jesus because, you know, he's so compassionate on the crowds. His Father forgive them. He showed his love for his own mother while suffering. And even a thief on the cross, guilty, but Christ took time out to save a thief nailed next to him. Maybe that Roman soldier would say to us, I put my faith in Jesus because I have never seen anybody love like this. But maybe he'd say something different because in our text, in the book of Luke, chapters, verses 34 and 43 and 46, you'll find that Jesus uttered seven cries from the cross. Before he died, he uttered seven statements. And I'm just gonna run through these. And in Luke 23, 34, the cry of love. In Luke 23, 43, the cry of forgiveness. Matthew 27, 46, the cry of fulfillment. In John 19, the cry of provision. In John 19, when he said, I am thirsty, there was the cry of agony. In John 19, when he bowed his head and said, it is finished, it was a cry of victory. And then in Luke 23, 46, when he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, it was a cry of departure. This is amazing to me. Because the Bible tells us that the Roman soldier, these are not my words, it's the Bible. When he saw how Jesus died, he said, surely this man is the Son of God. So maybe it was his composure or suffering or the fact of it is his love. Maybe he'd say to us, you know what? I put my faith in Jesus because I've never, ever heard anybody talk like this. Well, listen careful. It was very common back in those days when men would be nailed to a cross, crucified, but they'd utter such foul, wicked, when they were suspended on a cross, they would utter such foul, vile language that often those that nailed them to a cross would get a ladder and climb up and take a knife and grab their tongue and cut their knife out of their mouth because they could not, even though they were wicked, they could not bear to hear the filth coming out of their mouths. That wasn't the case of our Jesus. Our Bible says, like a sheep before shears is dumb, he opened not his mouth. There's no cursing. There's no sense of anger. There's no sense of I am guilty. I'm guiltless and I never sinned and this is not right, whatever. You find God's Son on the cross, speaking love and compassion and fulfillment. And I wonder when that man in the front row, when I'm sitting out in the bleacher seats at Fenway Park, or I remember back years ago at the Boston Garden, man, Larry Bird, Larry. And I remember watching the Celtics in the old garden, and we sit so high up, it looked like mosquitoes running or whatever, and you could not hear things. And this Roman soldier wasn't up in the seats that you can't see hardly anything. They weren't sitting so far. He was sitting in the front row. He saw and actually heard Jesus utter these words. Now listen careful. Luke records only three of the seven statements that Jesus proclaimed on the cross. But I promise you, the Roman soldier heard every single one of them. And he ended up by saying, surely this is the Son of God. This is a righteous man. I've never, ever heard anybody talk like this. I'm so grateful today that God still speaks to people. You know, I've said it probably every year I'm at Bethany, and I'll say it every time I ever get the privilege to be there. I'll never forget that night back in 1977. When in the balcony on the corner of Springfield and Armory Street. I remember that night. You've heard it too many times, more than most people, this issue. Bethany's where it all began for me. When I sat in that balcony for all the wrong reasons, but that night in the balcony, God began to speak to me of his love, and his mercy, and his grace. This is amazing to me that I'm on video, I'm miles away speaking to you this morning, and this and I'm one of your own. We're family, and all because several years ago, too many that I care to remember, but at the age of 17, here this morning, because Jesus still talks to people. So who is it this morning God's speaking to you right now? I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about just doing things and turning over a new leaf. You can do those things and still die and go to hell. I'm talking about hearing the voice of God, what he says to you, call on the name of the Lord and you can be saved. I believe it to my core that today God is speaking to somebody right now. You may have given up on yourself. You say, Greg, I've got more sin than I know what to do with. You could be living in the midst of it. You might have crack cocaine, maybe 10 feet more you're watching. You could be living a life of darkness. And listen, I'm not magnifying sin or darkness, but I'm magnifying the power of God who loves you and cares about you, who's speaking to you and says, you call on my name, I'll wash away your sins. You confess your sins. He is faithful and just and will forgive you. Maybe that Roman soldier would say, you know what? Man, I came here with my own agenda, but man, I'll tell you, that Roman soldier, it's Bible. This man is the Son of God. Maybe because he never saw anybody die like that. He never saw anybody love like that. He never saw anybody show compassion like this. He never saw anybody suffer like this. But maybe if that Roman soldier could be with us here today, he'd simply say to us, all these things together, how God used them to speak and melt the heart of that Roman soldier. The message of the cross is unlike any other message. And we're hearing all kinds of messages these days. Depending on who you talk to, there's no hope, there's no future, it's all over. I'm telling you, as long as you still have breath in your lungs, there's hope for you in your life and your future. But the fact is, one day this life's gonna come to an end. The fact is, the Bible says, it's appointed unto men to die once, and then comes judgment. In my prayer, and I often say this, and it's because I mean it. I used to like ask people to maybe make a decision to come to Christ. I don't ask people anymore. I beg people. And I'm begging you today, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from. There may be an old high school buddy watching today in Western Massachusetts, and you say, man, how about remember the way things that we did, the way we used to live? And I'm telling you that Jesus Christ changed my life and washed away my sins. Whoever you are, and no matter what you've done, this is the message. If the Roman soldier could walk on this set right now, he'd say to us, there's something different about this Jesus. So I'm asking you today to make the greatest decision you could ever make. You think about life, there's so many decisions that we make, and there's smaller ones and there's big ones. There's no decision greater than the one that you'll make as to what you'll do with Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you this. Have you made your decision? Have you ever opened your heart and said, Jesus, I confess to you, I have sinned, I've blown it. I've come up short of sin. And said, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sins. Have you ever prayed a prayer and said, Lord, come into my heart. I receive you and forgive me and save my soul. If you cannot recall with some level of clarity, if you don't remember ever doing that, I'm begging you to stop whatever you're doing right now. You could be watching and just checking something on your phone, even as you're listening. I'm begging you to focus and zero in for a moment and say, Lord, I need you. I'm lost without you. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The message of the Roman soldier, I believe, would be to put my faith in him because I saw how he died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. And that means you, and that means me. In a moment, Pastor Stephen's gonna come and close out the service. But I wanna speak to those that maybe would like to receive Jesus right now. Say, Greg, listen, it doesn't matter what age, whether you're 6 or you're 60 or 160, if you'd like to, you can receive this gift of salvation right now by putting your faith in Jesus. So I wanna ask you right where you are to just put down your coffee, put down the cup of tea. I just want to encourage you right where you are to bow your head. And I want to lead you in a prayer. And I want you to repeat it out loud after me. Not just repeating it, but believing with all your heart. This is a simple prayer to help anybody give their life to Jesus Christ. It's as simple as a prayer saying, Lord, today I need you as my Savior. So let's just reach out. If you'd like to make that decision, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Here we go. Come on, right where you are. Jesus, I come to you right now. I ask you to forgive all my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for my sins, that you died and rose up from the dead, and that you're alive forever. I receive you right now as my Savior. I give you all my sins, but I give you more than my sin. I give you myself. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that you are the Son of God. I receive you now as my Savior. Help me to follow you. Help me to live for you, to walk by your side, to never look back, to never go back, but to live for you. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of eternal life. I ask all these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, I wish I could reach my sweaty arm through that screen right now and give it the sweatiest hug. I know the distancing thing, so virtual hug right now, man. If you just prayed that prayer, Pastor Stephen will come in a moment, because they want to reach out to you. They want to help you grow in your faith. Let me know by way of the church. You can reach out through Bethany. You'll get all the information. But if you just made that decision, man, I welcome you today to the family of God because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Bethany, God bless you. We love you so much. Pastor Steve and Andrea, we love you so much. Cannot wait to be back with you on Tuesday night via Zoom. Then again on Wednesday, we're praying for you that this should be Bethany's greatest hour of winning the lost in the Pioneer Valley. God bless you guys. We'll see you really soon.
What a powerful message of God's love and his salvation to us. If you prayed that prayer with Greg just a moment ago, or you wish that you would have, or even if you've just got questions about what does it look like to follow Jesus, what does that mean? We want to connect with you and help answer your questions. Or if you prayed that prayer and you've given your life to Jesus, we want to celebrate with you, and we want to give you some resources to help you begin that walk with him and understand what it means to follow Christ. So if that's you, if you prayed, or if you're just curious and you'd like to connect with someone about what it means to follow Jesus, please text DECISION to 72044. Or if you're watching on Facebook, you can write DECISION in the comments and one of our pastors will connect with you via message. If you would like to, you can even just give us a call, 413-789-2930. Just tell them Pastor Stephen sent you. We want to connect with you about how you can keep following Jesus. And Greg, as he said, would love to connect with you as well. And if that's what you would like, we'll help to connect you to him so that you can learn from him about what it looks like to follow Christ. We're so glad you gave your life to Christ today. Thank you all for joining us. We trust that God is with you, that he's blessing you during these difficult moments, praying that he will keep you. And we will see you again on Tuesday for that personal evangelism training. Until then, go in God's grace and peace.
We hope you were inspired by this message from God's Word. If you were, would you take a moment to rate and review this podcast? That will help us better be able to reach more people with this important message. For more information about Bethany Assembly of God or how to have a relationship with God, visit www.bethany-ag.org.
You pull me from the clay. You set me on a rock. Call me by your name and make my heart whole again. Lift it up.
comfortable, lift your hands, sing it out.
Here I stand, high in surrender. I need you now.
Oh, we need you.
Hold my heart now and forever. My soul cries out. Here I stand, high in surrender. I need you now. Hold my heart now and forever. My soul cries. Grace holds the ground, and your grace holds.